Good morning, Lighthouse. I'm Kenji Paulson, and my husband Corey and I own a little local apparel company in Twin called Prine Man Press. And I get the honor of doing the scripture reading this morning, so if you wouldn't mind standing with me while I read. We're reading out of James 1 through 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Well, thank you, Kenj. She's backstage. I don't know if she can still hear that. Good morning. Ooh, sorry about the feedback. I'm just going to get going, but can everyone say, I love the Word of God? Can everyone say, I love the Scripture? Man, it really is so good, and we find life and understanding and emotion and heart and relationship and this closeness and ultimate foundation in the words of the living God. So if this is true, and I want to carefully but boldly tell you it is, do you and I read it? And not just like read it like, oh, I heard this verse, or I know that story, or I'm at church today. But when you actually read it and hear it, so you could like get it into your bones. And when we persevere and we get some context and put on some muscle, and man, I know some of you people, you're so smart, and you read something and it's here. It's like so quick. And what a gift to have knowledge quickly. But some things, they really do outlast the talent and the gift we have. Consistency, man, that lasts, and it will serve us, especially in the Word. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not ever pass away. Yeah, amen. You can clap. Amen. That's why I put it in there. I think the way I would present the first layer of this is read it like you need it. What if we all chose to read it like we need it? Need as in you get up early some of the time for that closeness and that consistency to put the time in. The most godly people, man, the people I want to look up to, the ones that stand the test of time, they just seem unshaken and focused, especially under pressure most of the time. And like, where do you think that comes from? I've never met a steady, strong, godly person who doesn't personally and continuously and consistently dig into the Word and do it. And if you have in your heart this morning this reason why you shouldn't have to read the Word yourself, man, I have been there. I have said every single excuse you have, I promise. Like, I have gone through all of that list. Why maybe today I do not have to get in the Word. And we say things like, well, Corey, I don't understand it. Maybe I'm just not that smart. Or, man, I'm so tired. Or maybe I'm mad at God that day. Or maybe he doesn't even hear me, I don't think. Or that's why we go to church. Or that's the pastor's job. I tried that, but it didn't work for me. God didn't do the miracle for me. And like I've given them all. There's a lot of excuses. And that list goes on forever. But if you don't mind, I would love to save you some time, because it never holds up. Never. It is a lie from Satan that you cannot personally get into the Word. But even unbelievers, like, this battle is real for unbelievers. I don't know if you pay attention to this or notice this at all, but like, unbelievers debating the Bible is so common. If you kind of just scroll for a little while, there's just debate after debate after debate. And I'm like, you know, they're not even believers and they're struggling with the same thing we're struggling with, you know? And I think that might mean there's something to this. I think there's some power behind it. And I think it's really hard to find the true argument because they don't exist. We need the Word. And even that, I tried that already. I want to like just tell you, if you're in that boat, man, like, my heart goes out to you. But so many people who boldly dig their heels into this, it's like going to the gym. I know it's not January anymore, so we're not talking about the gym anymore. But it's like going to the gym in January, like we all try to every January. And it's like, man, I'm going to work out hard. And we do our ab workout, and we do all this stuff, and then we walk into the bathroom, and we look. This is what we do, right? We look in the mirror like, flex. Oh, they're not there. You know what? Actually, going to the gym doesn't work for me. I don't have muscles like other people. I know you say you do, but nope. And I think that's kind of how the I tried that example goes. I get it. That first time at the gym sucks. It takes a second. Oh, man, it's like, it's a process. But I'd love to ask you just for 1 second, just to hear this, because ultimately I really want to start today off with letting you know that it is possible for you, every single one of you, to know the Word and to know Jesus. And we can be consistent, and God can help you be consistent in the way you spend time. And you might not get it right off the bat every time. Those abs take a little while. Man, my buddy, he's lost like 175 pounds. He's here today. He works for us. And like, that didn't happen the first day he showed back up at the gym. It takes a second. And you would never know it now because of time and consistency. Man, it transforms you. And there's this freedom. And maybe some of you could even be a person that somebody else looks up to someday and goes, I want to be like them. They're steady and they're focused. And under pressure, they come through. Could you just turn off the lights for just 1 second? Like, just a quick second. I'll be fast with my little illustration. But I had this day this one time. And I was arguing with God, like, so hard about it. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? Man, I'm so tired. And I'm having all the excuses about reading my daily Bible in a year thing. It's like a lot some days, if you've ever done this. And I was struggling. My friends are all head on behind right now. Literally, I'm giving a message on reading the Word. I'm behind in my daily Bible reading. So let me just be real with you right there. But I just want to encourage you. There's these moments sometimes, and the way it looks is like this. Because it's too late to be reading my Bible, but this is the time I've got. And I just want to encourage you, like, have this moment sometime where your phone is out, and if it's the daily Bible in a year thing that I'm doing, like, I gotta be in the actual book. I don't just use the app every time. Let me turn that flashlight off. But man, I just believe, like, test me on that one. Like, see if God comes through, if you would have that moment. Oh, thank you. And then let there be light. I know it's not easy. And I, again, like, if you didn't hear it, like, I'm behind in my Bible reading. So I'm not better than you. But I'm just saying, like, what valuable thing is easy? What thing in your life is just, like, simple? And I just want you to know you can hang in there. And you can patiently read and keep showing up. And at the right time, God will do it. At the right time, he will show you. And church, I am praying for us to ask God to help us get this. Because getting the word of God in our bones is not little. It's a big deal. It takes time. And we need faith to be Jesus followers who last. And so many people are walking away. It's happening in droves at times. But I've never heard somebody just say, like, man, I am consistently just in the Word, and I'm seeking God, and I'm being filled up, and I'm just ready to deconstruct my faith. No, those people are being filled up, but they're half in on their Bible, maybe. And they're really over half in on a lot of other voices. And again, my heart goes out to those people. Man, it's tough. We've all been burned. We've all been hurt. Hurt people, make bad decisions. They're kind of unsteady. But let me show you this just a little bit more. Romans 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So if I want faith, God, please give me faith. Romans says it comes by hearing the word. How do you hear the word? Like, I love that you're here. That's a place. But you know, the main place you're going to hear the word is when you're reading it, when you take the time, when you are reading it to know it. And you are here, so you've probably had an experience with God and some kind of cool moment with him at some point. And I love that you've had an experience with God. God shows up. Man, it is crazy. Experiencing God, like, lights our fire. And there's something in those moments that I'm just like, I need fire. Like, give me some of that moment. I love those moments. But the coals that burn long term, they're sustained by keeping something of substance on that fire that has been lit. So feed your fire. Feed it with the word. Fire dies without constant fuel. And God has provided fuel because he is faithful. You really can do this, friends, all of you. You can actively put yourself in a position to see God move and guide you personally. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't know about you, but has that ever sounded a little interesting in your head when you read that verse? Like, I know we all kind of know that verse a little bit, but have you ever really thought about that? Like, it almost sounds like he just said, he is the Word. Like, what? And I don't think God wrote that like that on accident. I think God intentionally wrote it that way because Corey's going to read that sometime and be like, wait, what? And I have to think, and I have to chew, and I have to meditate, and I have to really let my heart see the emphasis of the word and let some of my excuses kind of die a little bit because they really don't hold up. Deep, lasting faith in God is rooted in believing him, believing his word, and trusting him in it. The pillars just don't stand without the foundation, and anchors, and they're connected to the boats by this chain. And that's a really important chain, or the anchor kind of is useless. We don't have backbones if we don't have any faith. And the Lord reveals this to us through the word, and more than that, he reveals himself to us through the word. So right out of the gate, I just want to say, I want you to know God deeply. I want you to flourish, and I want that too. And he and his word is our foundation, not just for today. This isn't like, let's check out this series, and we were really trying to make a cool background, you know, and all that. But it's like, no, for eternity, the word will stand. And you are invited to start seeing that as a possibility for you personally. Just to be clear, too, one last thing, I guess. The condemnation you feel when people ask you to read your Bible, that's the enemy's wicked lie about God's wonderful invitation to you. That condemnation, man, don't hold on to that. That is not from the Lord. You are invited in. The word is his message. It's the message of the king. And if you would like a Bible plan, I would just encourage you, ask somebody. Like, there are people in your life, and it's just one step just to be bold. Ask them, like, hey, what are you doing for your Bible reading? And they might be like, hey, I'm not reading my Bible. I was thinking the same thing. And you could be like, well, great. We need to get this going, you know? We need some abs. So that is how that happens. With that said, I think I'm ready for us to pray and get started. Is that okay? That was my long intro for that. So it's going to be a good day. But two prompts are going to pop up on the screen in just a second. And I would love it if this works, but I want to actually ask you to read them. And then I want to invite you to pray out loud. And if right now, like, I listened to Kenji read about James just a little bit ago, and it's the wave, and that's what I am right now. The second you just asked me to pray out loud, I am the wave being tossed. Man, I get being shy, I get being nervous, but a lot of times in church, we think like the people up front and the people doing sound and all that is the important bit. No, you're the hearer. And you're a part of this, and you are very important. You are incredibly valuable. And I just want to invite you to pray. And C.S. Lewis has this quote that actually when I feel that moment, because even when I was getting ready, my heart started going, doing something. I don't know what was happening. I was like, here we go. And if you're feeling that, C.S. Lewis said this quote, and I think of it often. He said, "We must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us." If you are afraid to talk to God out loud because you feel like you aren't good enough or somebody else is going to think that about you, man, can I just tell you again, God is inviting you. You are called to pray as you are, not as you're supposed to be. Just be you. Who cares even what I think? Care about what God thinks. Our God loves to invite, and he loves when you meet up with him as a child. It's all over scripture. So I am asking you to rise up in faith to the invite right now. And the prompt should be, yes, they're on the screen if you can read them. And it's not going to be long. Jesus says, like, you don't need to pray long prayers. So ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Lord, would you speak to us today? Would you speak into our hearts? Would you help us to understand and love your word more than we did yesterday? And God, would you just move in this room? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's becoming a little bit of a tradition that I preach every August, and so it's good to be back. I can't believe it's been a year already. I can't believe summer's already almost over. It's kind of fun to be back for a little two-parter, so we'll get most of the way through today, but we will see how far I get in today's notes. So what does it look like to even be steady? If you are a note taker, I would love for you to write that down, steady, steady. I kind of have it like with some dots in there. But what about me specifically? What would I look like if I was more steady? I'm glad you asked. I have been thinking about that too. And there is just something in like slowing down and just hearing the reminder, steady, steady. Like, what's the real goal in the midst of it. It's like a movie scene pops into my head when I hear that word sometimes. And it's always after somebody says something like, whoa, steady, 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 boy. And it helps refocus and remind us of the true goals. And if you didn't hear it like the first five times, I'll just say it another time because I think it's a big deal. But the first and last of steady, the first and last of this is God and his word being the source. So what about the moments and seasons of life that have come or are coming where the waves crash and those trials really do show up and the suffering tries to crush you or me? Thought we'd keep it simple today. sometimes life really is coming fast and furious and we really need that, whoa, hang in there. So God can remind you and me that he is steady. So God can remind you and me that he is steady to keep you strong and to make you stronger and to hold us. Through the trials, I want and need reminders all throughout our world. The other day, Louis Giglio had this reminder he posted, and man, it was just this total, like, whoa moment for me. And this is what he posted. He posted Psalm 121:4. He said, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I was just like, man, God doesn't sleep. Yes, I need that. And then he wrote this. And this is, man, so good. He said, God did more on your behalf while you were sleeping last night than you will do on your behalf while awake today. I was like, whoa. Like, wow, or whoa, whichever one you want to throw in there. If I could just get that one. God did more while you slept than you're going to do while you're awake today. Like, thank you. How cool is that? Okay, so maybe God can do this stuff. Maybe we are, like, at this place where we're okay. But what about when the storm really does hit me? Specifically, like, how does God's word even come to life for me? Because in some of it, we feel so crushed. Like, what about when I'm not sure I'm even going to make it? What about when I feel like all is lost? What about, man, and it's tough. God wants to speak deep into this for you from his word. So let's go back to the word, and we'll dig into James for just a minute. And just a little background on James, if you didn't know already, but James is believed by most to be the half-brother of Jesus. And the interesting thing about James, there's a lot. You can go dig for yourself, because now you know you can do it. But James probably didn't believe before the resurrection. So half-brother of Jesus, nope, I don't believe. I think that's powerful for us today. I think we have those days when we're pre the resurrection a little bit. And so the person who wrote this had a season where he struggled. He's like, I don't know if I believe it. And now here he is talking about some of these same struggles to the church thousands of years ago. So James 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So if you want some depth for you personally, put yourself in the letter. Like, we just asked, what about me? So look and listen closely, like he is talking to you. Like you are in the trial, and this godly man writes to you at church, and you are told, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. We all know that we meet trials at some moment, and I just want you to think about the last time you had a trial. Or maybe just think about your suffering right now. You've probably seen this verse, and it might even have been on like a coffee cup. And if we're thinking about this, and when we're in that trial, and when we see this verse, man, I love coffee, like too much. It's kind of a problem. But if somebody gives me that coffee cup on the wrong day, sometimes I don't know if I'm so sure. Sometimes while I'm in pain, I don't just feel the joy. And let me try to illustrate this like a little bit further. We were at my grandma's cabin a couple weeks ago, and man, I love getting to sneak away and get up there, up in Pine. And there's this fish on the wall in my grandma's cabin that I just remember since I was a kid. And when you push the little button, it sings this song. It says, "Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy." And my kids and my friends' kids, and then actually even every single adult pushes that button when we're at the cabin. And all of a sudden, Big Mouth Billy Bass is singing, dun, 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 you know, and it's going. And for me, I don't know how they made batteries back in the day, but they don't make them like that today. That thing should not work with the amount of button pushing and song singing that fish has done in his life. And I don't know, I mean, most of you have probably seen it, but if you haven't seen it, part of the reason the kids are laughing and us adults are laughing, it kind of pops out at you. I don't know if you remember this, but like before it sings, it's like poof, and you're just like, and my kids are like, "Wait, here it comes, whoa." And they're scared, but it's fun and all the stuff's going on. But man, we're up there again a few weeks ago, and we're upstairs, and all of a sudden I hear it, "Don't worry, be happy." And I'm smiling, and my kids are laughing downstairs with one of my best friends, kiddo, and oh man, it's just singing, "Don't worry, be happy." But I think if we're honest, there are some times when we really are in the worry and the fear and the pain of the trial, and it's almost if James is singing to you, "Don't worry, be happy, joy." You're like, "Hey, James, could you read the room? Because I'm about to tear Big Mouth Billy Bass off the wall." And that's how it feels. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that on the mic. But sometimes I think Big Mouth Billy Bass's batteries need to die. Like, I'll take them out. But the point is, James starts with something that I think is kind of hard for us to hear in the wrong moment. It's hard for us to hear while in a struggle. Joy, don't worry. And our temptation might be to stop and say, "That didn't work for me. Nope, that doesn't work for me. I tried that." And we skip the, "Whoa, steady." And the point is, and it's kind of the next point in our notes, is did you hear it right? Did you hear it right? Because James didn't say count it all joy on accident, but we have all misheard a lyric in a song, right? And me and my sisters used to do it on purpose. We would like sing the wrong lyrics to the song. And so we're singing a song and thinking we're funny, and then people think it's the real lyrics, and then we think we're really funny, and then there's these other moments when I realize I was doing it on accident. And I don't know, I used to think like the opening line or song of Lion King, I used to think it said Pennsylvania. You all just sang it in your head like that. It's okay, I don't know what he says next either. I still don't know what that song says, honestly. It's like, but it's playing in my head right now. And this is where reading the word closely, it matters. I used to think Pennsylvania must have lions. Like, that's the problem. I don't know. I won't go down that road, but reading the word closely matters. Because check this out. Did James say, "Feel it all joy"? No. He actually said, "Count it. Count it all joy." It's the word in the Greek, hege omai. And maybe he was singing it, because I think it's got the same amount of syllables as Pennsylvania. But it has this definition or idea. Here's the meaning of count it all joy. To lead, to go before, to be a leader, to rule, command, to have authority. And if you dig deeper into the synonyms, I can't talk. I did that in my practice one time, I think, too. If you dig into the synonyms and the way it's used, you get this idea that's really, really, I mean, this one you have to listen to a little bit, but it says, denote a belief resting not on one's inner feeling or sentiment, but on due consideration of external grounds. It's a little bit of a wordy definition there, but maybe it's not always feel it all joy. Sometimes you get to feel that in the trial. But maybe, for those of us who are in pain, maybe count it. Maybe it works because you lead your heart and your emotions and your mind with deep joy in every season. Because knowing the source is external allows us to be outside what we feel. Because the source is Jesus. Count it all joy. He can give you deep joy even when blank. Did you hear it clearly? Did you hear it correctly? When I edited my notes right here, literally, this perfect storm just happened, but when I edited my notes, I saw that I had written, count it all joy when you meet trails of various kinds. Like, again, did we hear it correctly? Did we read it right? Trails. And then it was one of my buddy's birthdays, Jason Hauser, literally as I'm editing my notes, seeing trails, and Jason loves to hike. And I'm sitting there, Jason, you gotta hear this funny story, blah, blah, blah. And I call him, and then I was just thinking, you know, Jason does not have a hard time considering it pure joy when he meets new trails of many kinds. And I was kind of chuckling about it, you know, out in the mountains. But there is a metaphor here. Like, there is this choice when you are hiking. We are not on a trail that goes downhill to the top of that mountain. There's some trial in the trail. And we have to lead our feelings in order to get to where we want to go on a good hike. And when hiking with Jason, I don't know if you know him, but he sings. And Jason, I mean, Kenji and I were talking about a story when he's like, we're hiking a mountain. He's literally singing like, I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. And I'm like, Jason, you are the man. And it's like contagious, and Kenji's singing, and we're just having this great time. But hiking, it's windy and unpaved and unknown on the way to the beautiful place where you're going. Friends, we are going to a beautiful place. It's worth it. Psalm 121 even says, we lift our eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Amen. We might not know what is around the bend, but your job and my job is to stay on the trail, keep going, and don't worry. Lead yourself to be joyful. Count it all joy. Because of that external trust we have. And real quick here, before we hit the next verse, I just want to say, like, it's not that you can't have emotions. Jesus wept. David is, he's like an emotional guy when he writes and through his life, but he hangs in there very, very well, even in his mess. And God is like, he's after my own heart. It's pretty cool. So let's go down to verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You long to be steady. It's in you. I know it. Deep down, we want to be firm, steady, steadfast. As I read some commentary here, one of the commentators, David Gutzik, he kind of does a little study guide that's pretty easy to read if you ever need a little study guide. But he says something that kind of I think is important. He says, faith is tested through trials, not produced. Faith is tested. Further, trials reveal the faith we do have, not because God doesn't know how much faith we have, but so our faith will be evident to ourselves and those around us. So it's like the barometer for you and me in those trials when we're getting tested, if I want to truly be steady. And it's the idea, like, listen to godly people God has around you. Listen to what God's speaking in the moment to you. Why? Because if you're trying to get on trail and go to where you're supposed to be going, you kind of need to know compass, location, direction. We kind of need a couple factors in there. I don't think we get to the next section of verses without that. Like, we got to trust each other once in a while. We got to hear from each other. And so verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This section could be like a whole two-week study, and man, I'm going to go through it quickly, but it's building some muscle, it's casting some big vision, and both encouraging and warning. I like to pay attention to those sections that have this big encouragement and this big warning, and I don't know, like, do you feel like you aren't wise? Ask God. Ask him to give you wisdom, and then look at the barometers he's placed around you so you can know where you are, and then God's going to bring you through. He promises it right there. Like, don't be offended by the map. Don't be offended by your current location. It's encouraging to know where we are, because maybe we can get to where we're supposed to be going. And you have permission to stop being embarrassed about your walk with God. Like, today you're here. This is where you're at, and it's okay. And the God of the universe is speaking into your life going, hey, here's where I want to take you, but here's where we are. And if you're like, no, I'm not here. That's rude. It's like, well, I'm just saying, like, if I even do this for 5 seconds, I couldn't hit the door, man. I can't even get out of the room, and I've been in this room a lot of times. It's okay where you're at. Today is the day that God has some move for you, and it's one step at a time. We walk with the Lord. We don't run with him. Trust and know that a good dad loves to bless his kids. He loves to come through for you. And we have to understand how God speaks to understand wisdom. And so I'm just really, really quickly going to give you a couple ways. He speaks through worship. He speaks through the church. The church is alive. Stop letting the world tell you it's dead. Look around. We're singing. We're here. God is on the move. And the church is alive. I think commonly, for me, God really does speak through worship, which is funny because I do not want to sing in front of any of you. I kind of, Big Mouth Billy Bass is the furthest I'm going, but man, that's a big one for me. I think he also speaks through experiences. I think he speaks through, man, friends. I think he speaks through strangers that walk into your shop from Kansas City, and they're sitting right back there. I love it. But man, what if God would like have written us a book? Man, that, what a cool way for God to speak to you and me. Man, I wish. Man, if he would have just read, I would read that book. I would read that book like I needed that book. Sorry, I'm just kidding. Hey, if you disagree with the book, or you disagree with the church, or you disagree with somebody that's speaking to you, go win each other. It doesn't always have to be me versus you. It's like, hey, can we talk through this? I don't like when you tell me to be joyful when I'm pissed. Like, actually, I learned this at church on Sunday. God invites you into this. Okay, we got to keep moving. I'm going too slow. Sorry. Perfect, lacking in nothing, is compared to what? Double-minded, receive nothing, unstable in all his ways. I don't know if you heard that, but I don't want to be option two. Like, can we be option one? Like, how do I get that one, please, to become steady, perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And I can't answer every detail of this for my life or yours. But I think there is this massive truth coming right here. And I need you to lean in and hear it and listen for just a second. You see, part of the depth of knowing God and seeing his miracles is understanding that the steadfast, they don't keep running away. And personally, growing into who we're called to be means we can't keep running away when trials come. And that's the next point here, is the steadfast can't keep running away. The enemy wants to steal this from you. I truly believe that. But it's kind of simple and huge, but the complexity comes because it goes against my nature. So let me just explain it a little bit more. Like, we get invited to read our Bible, and in it, we get to know God more and more, both in highs and lows. And then we're encouraged to walk through every aspect of life with him. And we see these great moments. I love those great moments, those great experiences with God. But then we have these lows. And in these lows, we have to learn, because it's against my nature, not to run away in order to see God actually come through. Best friends say things like, "We've been through some stuff, man. Remember the time? How'd we get through that?" Why? Because there is this depth in that real testing. And somehow you guys made it, and it produced steadfast. You're hanging in there. The same is true with God. Peter is asked by Jesus, "Why did you doubt?" And like Peter, I believe God wants to turn your doubt into trust and make our faith strong. But doubt and uncertainty are also going to try and kill your opportunity to see it. See what? Well, when a wave comes, you can't say, "Well, he lifted me out last time. I'm going to choose to trust God again," if you've never had a last time. If every time that wave comes, if you've never walked through it with him, you have no experience of what he does. It's so amazing how God comes through. And it is just like, I wish I would have even understood this earlier, but the steadfast have to get out of the boat and try. Why? So you could be like, just win every time? It doesn't work that way. It's so that when we don't run from the storm, we can look at God and go, "I don't know. But we've been through some stuff, man. Me and God, we've been through some stuff." So if you're going to say, "I'm going to trust God for the long term, and I'm going to hang in there over time," you're going to have to be able to say, "Because God came through." Amen. We can look back and see who he is, how he does it, and the trust just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It's not like hard things. We live on earth. I do. And it is not always perfect. But if the word and godly people reading the word are a big part of your life, you can get into the flow of walking through the highs and lows where doubt begins to die. And it's kind of cool. One more thing on this topic. Some of you are so talented. You are so gifted. And the second the storm comes, you're a good swimmer. You just swim right back to that boat. You miss it too, even in your gift. Carry your gift with humility and wisdom, because you need God, even though you are so good. It's kind of an interesting dynamic for us all. But you want to see God come through, I promise. Trials are storms, and storms produce when you see God in that storm. This is hard, and I get it. You are not alone. God has so much compassion for you. And God's people have more compassion for you than you know. And I really debated sharing this next part because it's a little bit personal. for me. Man, I gotta get through this part. But steady, steady. Whoa, that's right. Thank you, brother. I am still learning this too. And for me, last December, I had a wave hit that was a big one. And man, going to have a baby is such an amazing experience. It's like full of joy, full of wonder, and full of people loving on my team, my friends, like people, my family, my church, people just loving on you. And on December 2nd, we went in to have our third little guy, Milo, and we're so excited. And moms, you are so amazing. Every time I forget, like, wow, you really are amazing. And it's just so crazy. And during the marathon of giving birth, there, for us, were a few markers that were off. And you go through some hours and hours and kind of just going through birth pains. But finally they say, hey, are you ready to have this baby? And you're like, yes, let's go. Finally, we're there. You know, and you're in that moment. And it's more spiritual, I think, than I used to admit. And it's incredible. And for us, baby Milo is finally here. And we're doing good. And for about 2 minutes. And then I look over and Kenj is just so pale. And there's some concern going on in the room. You can feel the tension of the room. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then she says, I'm going to pass out. And I go, uh-oh. And she had an internal hemorrhage, and the bleeding wasn't stopping. And then it seemed like doctors and nurses got very serious. And I knew they were serious because they were yelling. And so just so you know, if somebody starts yelling, it's probably kind of serious. And I was like, okay, what's my job right now? So I grab Milo, and I go to the corner. And that's all I know what to do. I'm going to hang out in the corner with Milo, and I'm going to pray. And man, at some point, you feel pretty helpless and exhausted in that moment. You're kind of just over, and hours are passing. And they're still yelling. And it's a bit of a blur, but some time passed. They end up getting Kenj stable enough, and they ask her to rest at some point. But Milo will only sleep if someone is holding him. I'm like, bro, read the room. Like, it's, I know it's early in your life, but you got to learn this lesson quick. And so I'm thinking, suck it up, man. Corey, you got to suck it up. You're going to hold him. Kenj needs rest if she's not feeding him. You got to suck it up. And so I hang in there for a couple more hours, and I am cooked. And I'm like, I'm done. I got nothing. And I'm praying, and all of a sudden, this nurse walks in. Or maybe she was an angel, I really don't know. But she looks at me and she goes, hey, it's been a big day. And tomorrow is going to be a big day. Would it be a blessing if I held Milo for you for a minute and let you sleep? And I was just like shocked and relieved and amazed. And it's like that moment when your tense shoulders and your neck kind of does the, like I totally had that. And I thought I was relaxed. And then I got onto that weird green couch bed, 4 a.m. And church, I gotta be honest with you, like the second I laid down, I just realized how full fear, worry, all of it, like the most I've ever felt in my whole life. And I'm just crushed. And I was afraid that something bad would happen if I slept or while I slept. And Kenj has been my friend for, like my best friend for 17 years. Like we have been through some stuff, man. And I prayed this very come as you are prayer. I don't remember most of it, but I do remember saying this. I said, God, I don't know how many days Kenji has. You do. And I trust you either way. But I need you to hold my hand. And I think that's all I could get out. And I think my tiredness hit, and I dozed off for an hour or two. And it was slow, but the next few days we got better and better, and we got to go home. So it seemed like, wow, God just did it. What a cool moment. You pray the prayer, do the thing. And I love those moments. But on Saturday, a week later, Kenji tells me, man, I feel the best I've felt. And her mom came to stay with us, and I was like, sweet. I think our team needs me at work. I'm going to work today, okay? She, yeah, go to work. So I go to work, and I have the team meeting, and I set my phone down. We're having our team meeting, and it's December, and retail's busy in December. And so open the doors, and we're slammed. We're so busy. And I go, I should have my phone. I walk over to grab my phone to 12 missed calls. And my heart drops because I'm like, oh no, they're all from Kenji and her mom. And I call her back, and through tears, I just hear, I gotta go to the hospital. I need your help now. Please come help me. And I run out of the shop, and luckily our amazing Prime Man team took care of things, and so grateful for them. And then I have this friend who goes to church with us here, and she's a doctor. And so, Pamela, what do I do? She goes, hey, Kenji texted me this morning right when she started not feeling good, and I felt like I should come check on her in person. I'm at your house. I'm like, there's a doctor in my house. Okay, that's good. I think that's good, right? And she loads her up into her car because I'm not going to make it fast enough. And she rushes her to the ER, and she's like, I had to hit Kenji a few times so she wouldn't go to sleep, okay? Just so you know, I was like, that's what hit her. Like, help her stay awake. And we laugh, and she's joking about it, but it's really serious. And then we seriously carry her into the ER, and we're in the hospital for a few more days, and everything turns for the good again. And we're here. And again, that sounds like the cool part of the story, but I actually am here now, what I wanted to share with you. In the chaos of those days, I just felt the Lord say, get up and read your Bible every day. And I was reading through Isaiah last December. And every day I'll just get up, read your Bible. And I was tired. Like that, I feel so tired excuse, it was real loud. And so I feel like God's saying, get up and read your Bible every day. And I'm feeling all of it. And 13 verses in, the second time we rushed to the ER, here's what I read. I want to show you this. I'll give you a little context. I'll give you verse 10 through 13. Isaiah 41, 10 through 13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. Like a week after I prayed that prayer, I'm there in my Bible reading right before the next wave hits. Hold your right hand, just like my prayer. I did not Google that. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. And we'll stop here, but the trial brings unsteady, and in that moment, we need faith. And right before that next wave hit me, God had me in his word reading the prayer I prayed. Who gets a doctor in their house during the emergency? The person who gets a doctor in their living room is the person who has God holding their right hand. And it's easy to run away. But firsthand, I will just tell you, I believe God more today than I believed him on December 1st of last year. And ultimately, I just want to encourage you to be in the game. Put yourself in there, even in the lows. God is saying, fear not, because he has you. You are in the story of God, and he's a really good main character. But he does gracefully invite you to invite him. He doesn't make you do it. He asks you, he's like, hey, I'm right here. You're invited to talk with me. And so we got to step in. When there is pressing coming in your life and in your home and there doesn't seem to be a way out, Jesus says, I am the way. And the God I am continuing to know, he walks on waves. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but when he pulled Peter out of the waves, what was he holding? He was holding Peter's hand. I don't think it's just a me or just a this person or that. Like, God wants to hold your hand. He'll hold your fist too, but it's a little awkward. Lord, thank you that at 4 a.m. when I need to talk, you don't sleep. Thank you that we can trust you and we can trust your word. God, I pray that we would know and love your word. Thank you for coming through. I know you don't always do it the way I think, but thank you that you don't do what I want. Thank you that you are so good and you do what you want, God, and that you never abandon us. Thank you for your promises written all over our lives. And in steady, slow time, I pray that you would really be our rock and our foundation. In Jesus' name, amen.